like to invite the following people to join me for lunch.
I think we should share an awesome blossom. What do you say? They are awesome.
Order!
Cheeseburger, please.
Get off, Napoleon. Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
And I'll have the number 8. That's a party platter. It serves 12 people. I know what I'm about, son.
This burrito is delicious, but it is filling.
Yeah, I'll have the linguine, red sauce on the side. If the sauce does not come on the side, I will send it back.
Can I take your order?
It's time for the Lunch Rush, the latest and greatest in sports news. Here's Brady Hall.
Well, we know Mel Tucker is suspended right now, head coach of Michigan State, if you haven't been following this. He was accused of sexually harassing Brenda Tracy, who coincidentally, her job is to be a sexual assault awareness speaker. You can't make this up. You cannot. He is adamantly denying all these claims right now. Tucker said in a statement issued Monday through his attorney, Jennifer Blaville, he said he developed an intimate adult relationship with Tracy and that her claims that he harassed her are completely false. He said an upcoming hearing to assess whether he violated university policy is ridiculously flawed and not designed to arrive at the truth. Now, Angel, I'm just going to say this as loosely, not loosely, as tightly as I can. I had just heard rumblings of this around Boulder. That's as far as I'm willing to go with it. But let me just say this, Angel. When the news hit about this, I wasn't surprised. Now, I don't know. This doesn't mean he did it. Because I didn't hear anything about sexual assault in Boulder. I had just heard about relationships and things like that. I think a lot of people have. But I don't. So they've suspended Tucker without pay. They did that on Sunday night after details of the claims against the coach were made public in a story written by USA Today. Was that the right move to suspend him? Now, we always say innocent until proven guilty, right? Well, still true. But Angel, it's not a good look if this is going on and your coach is there at the forefront of Michigan State. It's a gigantic distraction.
Yeah, it's a bad look on the university, on the football program, on the athletic department. On the rest of the coaches, because whether or not they had anything to do with this or any knowledge of it, they are put in this investigation, and it's a distraction for the players. They want to focus on playing football and their studies. They don't want to have to worry about what their coach is doing.
Yeah, I mean, you got to make that move. It's not necessarily saying that you are saying he's guilty. It's just saying, dude, this is some pretty deep stuff, and
conflict of interest if you're still here doing stuff.
Is Mel Tucker married? I just want to know. And I'm not, this isn't the morality police here or whatever. It's just, I mean.
According to Google, he's married to Jo Ellen Tucker. They've been married for 20 years.
And he says that he did develop an intimate and adult relationship. An intimate adult relationship. What does that mean? That means that's a romantic relationship, right? Intimate adult relationship?
Yep.
Okay.
Or an affair.
So that's a bad look. Now, can you fire a guy for that? No.
It goes against school policies.
It may be. Especially if somebody's working there.
Is she an employee of the school?
She is a sexual assault awareness speaker that was there to speak about sexual assault. And then they developed a relationship, and she's alleging that he sexually assaulted her. He's saying, no, we were, like, that was a consensual thing. Like, again, I'm not going to go off on the morality situation here, but, you know, remember how bad of a bad look, how much of a bad look that was with Urban Meyer?
Yeah.
With the girl just dancing up on him at that bar? It made you question a lot of things about him. This is a guy that parents are sending away. You know, he's leading these young men to go out into the world after football and all that. Everything I've heard of Mel Tucker is that maybe, I'm not saying sexual assault is in his nature, but definitely dating around, kind of. That's what I've heard. Still waiting on that interview with him, by the way. We had it booked, and then he left. And
he pushed.
Do you think we're going to ever get that? Probably not.
Maybe not.
maybe not at this point. Okay, judge grants temporary restraining order to prevent Pac-12 from meeting. This is what... Mel Tucker, get me away from that. This is what we're here for. This is sports talk,
you
Angel.
The real
legal this
troubles.
Is the real deal. And I heard Tanner, by the way, saying, why do we have to talk about so many legal jargon, so much legal jargon in college football? They're doing it in the NFL every single day. Jim Trotter, just that story, I'll get to that in a moment, too. Like, yeah, it happens all the time. You remember Colin Kaepernick? Do you remember Deflategate, Spygate?
Well, the thing with the Pac-12, it's not like no one's breaking any laws here. It's just, hey, you're leaving, and we just want our stuff back.
So does that mean that they're playing for the national championship game or the conference championship game?
I think they're trying to make sure that they can they have the power to decide that.
They wouldn't do that, would they? They have the power to decide that, but would they actually do it?
If you get to this, you know, end of November and...
So a state judge in Washington...
You want all that Pac-12 championship money only going to two schools.
Yes.
Because you
agreed.
Know Washington State and Oregon State fans would travel to Vegas for that game.
Because
they would sell it out.
Because the championship game, whoever those teams are, they get more money. They get a bigger piece of the pie
from
the
Pac-12.
Yeah,
you get a bonus check for showing up. You get one if you win. Your coach gets a little bit of a boost. You get scholarship.
I don't know why, Angel. I actually love this.
It's going to happen.
Like, I love
and you're
this.
And we're going to end the season with, like, USC in the top three, Oregon, maybe CU's on
maybe
somewhere in the top
playoff
10.
Playoff teams.
Yeah,
and
they're
can't
not going to play
their own
championship
conference
game.
Championship.
It'll be 8-4 Washington
you know what?
State and 9-3 Nebraska or Oregon State.
Did you ever see the movie Any Given Sunday?
No.
Well, just roll with me here. It's football. Al Pacino's the head coach. Mm-hmm. He's bringing up this coach, his player, Willie Beeman, who's Jamie Lee Fox. Isn't Jamie Lee Fox? He's bringing him up. He's got trouble with him. They can't see eye to eye, but he sees all the talent. He loves the guy. Well, they're all tired of Al Pacino as the head coach. Cameron Diaz is one of the owners. And they're finally at the end of all things. They're like, I've had enough with Al Pacino. It's done. He's cooked. We're firing him. And so they let him go, and he gets up to make his announcement. And then as he's saying, okay, you know, I'm moving on. They're moving on from him, going on to a new team. And my first free agent signing is Willie Beeman, and I'm bringing him with me. And that was how this – and the crowd, the media went nuts. Everybody's mad. Cameron Diaz is upset because you just signed their star quarterback with you, which wouldn't happen that way in the NFL. But it's kind of like Al Pacino has nothing left. But in one last gasp, he's like, oh, and I'm bringing your franchise quarterback with me. Screw you guys. That is what very very much reminds me of what the Pac-12 is doing. Is, yeah, you guys are going to go on to greener pastures. We might end up at a Mountain West team next year. But we're going to play for the Pac-12 championship in a year where the Pac-12 might be the best conference in football. You can't write this stuff, dude. Who needs a subscription to Netflix? Well, you might soon if the Pac-12 network is on Netflix. Then you very well may need that. But I'm here for it, man. This is great. The ruling for temporary restraining order prevents a Pac-12 board meeting scheduled for Wednesday sets up a preliminary injunction hearing that is expected to determine who makes up the voting members of the Pac-12 board of directors. This is...
So they're gonna have them in a room. Mm-hmm. They're going to kick everybody out, and they're going to only let potentially two people back in.
Yeah.
And that's your board.
Yeah. What are they going to do in there? Shots? You know?
Hey, take shots and go.
We're going to be playing in that Pac-12 championship.
Let's book our flights to Vegas.
They've that argued that so they fun. Should be the only voting members remaining in the conference, citing precedent that previous members who've notified the Pac-12 that they were withdrawal from the league have lost voting rights. You know what I think would change things? You leave the conference, you don't get your one-year swan song. You don't get to compete. You leave a conference, I don't care how good you are, you're not a playoff team, you're not a conference championship team.
That's what they're trying to do.
You punish the players. Like, they transfer twice.
You could do it this year because there's no direct conference tie-ins with the playoffs yet, and that'll come next year. So you have all the power to say, nope, USC, Oregon, sorry.
Yeah, you comfortable sitting out a year? And if you leave, you got to pay. Obviously, we know they have to pay out. They have to pay out to leave, so that's a punishment. You want to slow this down a little bit? You just ask them not to. If you leave, you got to sit out. You can play football, but your games won't mean anything. Big old asterisk there. He won't play for anything big. How about this one? Sports betting company DraftKings apologized Monday after using the September 11, 2011, or 2001, excuse me, terror attacks to entice people to bet on baseball and football games on the anniversary of the tragedy that killed nearly 3,000 people. The Boston-based company put out a promotion that required three New York-based teams, the Yankees, Mets, and Jets, to win their games Monday, the 22nd anniversary of the attacks of the World Trade Center on the World Trade Center and Pentagon, and the downing of a passenger jet in a field in Pennsylvania. I mean, that is just, come on, dude. That's a terrible look.
It's a bad look. The Jets don't play in New York, and the Correct. Bills are actually a New York team.
Correct. So there's obviously issues with that. Yeah. Right there. But you're also using it as a promotion.
There is
you're taking advantage of a terrible day
from 9/11.
No, you do not use that to create some kind of package. If any business is doing that, this isn't Labor Day. This isn't President's Day. This is a day that should be viewed however you want to view it. Pay your respects, whatever. But you should not be gaining a promotion out of this. You can't go to a furniture store. It shouldn't be a buy one, get one free sale because of 9/11. I didn't see this yesterday.
I didn't see it either. Tanner had brought it up to me, but they had quickly deleted it and put out an apology for it. Probably fired that 20-year-old intern who doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, what are you doing here? What are we doing? Just obvious mistakes.
How does that get into a design software? You put it all together to make it look pretty, and then you put it on your global app.
I don't know. Yeah, 970 just says, and the Jets and Giants play in Jersey, so there's that. Yeah. That's obviously an issue, but not the biggest issue. You don't capitalize off of this. All right, our game beer of the week, thanks to On the Rocks Liquor, is one of my favorites, Oktoberfest. Sam Adams Oktoberfest. Absolutely love this beer. It's not a it's a lager. Dave over at Oktoberfest wanted to be very sure everyone knows it's not pumpkin. It's just easy drinking lager. It's an Oktoberfest flavor type of beer, but it's not pumpkin. A lot of people think that with October. Oh, it's still. Have you ever had this one?
I don't think I've had Sam Adams, but I have had, you know, October beers before.
Sam Adams Oktoberfest. It is delicious. 18 minutes after the hour, Mike Brohard from CSURams.com going to join us next on our First Advantage Hotline, but let's take a quick break here. We're Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The Buffs, the Rams, the rivalry continues. Here are our thoughts on the Rocky Mountain Showdown on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Jay Norvell created a thing, didn't he? Even Stevie Wonder could see that the DraftKings promotion was not a good thing. Right? Am I going to get in trouble for that now, too? People need to get a grip on reality here. We just tried to get Mike Brohard on from CSURams.com. He must be busy.
There's no news in Fort Collins right now, is there?
Apparently there's this Schrocky Schmountain Schmodown thing coming up.
What's that about?
Yeah. CSU, CU play every year, but not really. Used to be, but now not so much.
And in a different stadium that's not in one of those two cities?
It's not in the Denver thing anymore. Yeah, unfortunately. Last time these two played, can you tell me the year? Just take a guess.
Okay, I know they played in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
They did not play in 2020.
Mm-mm.
They did not play last year.
Mm-mm.
I'm going to go 2018.
Close. 19. Last time they played was 19.
Yeah.
CU won 52-31. Blanking out on the CSU quarterback. It would have been Steven Montez for CU.
Montez, yeah.
It was the long-haired guy. Ah! He hurt his legs, and then He hurt his leg in that game, too. And again, it was just another, it was a guy that just could not stay healthy. As soon as you say it, I'm going to be so mad at myself. What was his name? Long-haired, tall, pretty good quarterback, could move, but he just couldn't stay healthy. He actually went down to South Carolina once Bobo left. Down there for a moment. Oh, it's right there. Oh, my gosh. It's going to drive me insane. Steven Montez and... what is it? Oh,
Patrick O'Brien?
No. Other one.
Colin Hill.
Yes. Colin Hill. It was Colin Hill.
Yeah, 6'5", 210 quarterback. He was a senior that year.
Yep. It was Colin Hill, right? Yeah, it was. He's got long hair, right? Google a picture of him. Okay. Yes. Really liked Colin Hill. They were off. So that 52-31 game,
he's
Colorado
like
State.
Gardner Minshew.
I was going to say that. I was going to say it. Couldn't think of his name either. It's one of those days. Colorado State was playing pretty well in that game. And then it kind of back and forth, and Colin Hill gets hurt, and the Buffs kind of run away. The year before that, 45-13. Then it was 17-3. That would have been Bobo. They didn't play under Addazio? Or was that the year they played? That wouldn't have been it. Because Addazio had the 2020 campaign and the 2021 campaign. So Addazio's... Rams never played the Buffs. That would have been Bobo's Buffs. Rams.
They didn't play in 2020, 21, or 22.
970, just texting. Colin Hill, great hair, terrible ACLs. Oh. Yes. Terrible ACLs. Hey,
but the Buffs have won the last five.
The last time the Rams won was in 2014. That would have been Jim McElwain, and that was when the mayor of Denver called him McIntyre. And McElwain got upset and, like, grabbed the mic, and he's like, it's McElwain! And then he said his post-game conference, he's like, I guess that tells you all you need to know about what they think of us. And the Buffs won, why do I keep saying the Buffs? Is it a Freudian slip? There's just a lot of Buffs winning here. CSU won 31-17 over Colorado. That would have been McIntyre and McElwain. Those years.
From about 2006 to 14, it was fairly back and forth.
Yeah, it was.
And then since 2015 on, it's been all CU.
Oh, they had some good games. Bradley Van Pelt days and Joel Klatt days. I mean, the Rams were ranked in some of those games. The last time one opponent was actually ranked when they faced off was... in 2003, Colorado State was ranked number 23. They were 23rd in the country.
And they did lose that game.
And they did, 41-14. So does the ranked team now, which is the CU Buffs at 18. Are you saying the Buffs are going to lose?
That was 20 years ago.
Oh,
boy.
20 years ago, when that game mattered. Oh, my gosh. Now, I picked the Rams to win in the summer. I did.
Very superstitious.
What did you make of Jay Norvell's press conference there? We played a little bit of it. Is he trying to channel a little primetime excitement there? Because I haven't heard... I've been to a few press... Now, again, Dixon's right. I'm not there every week. I can't go to Jay Norvell press conferences because they're at 11:30 on Mondays. We have something going on at that
time.
Does
he do one every week?
Every week. Okay. Every Monday. But Kevin said on with you guys this morning on Good Morning NoCo, he said he was like, he would have kept talking. He just was, and even that clip there was a pep in his step.
No, I think there's definitely some excitement. He says it's a great opportunity, whether or not, you know, win or lose, the country's going to be watching that game. They are going to see Jay Norvell and the CSU Rams on TV.
Yeah.
And that is a huge opportunity for them as players. And as a program and all of that. So I think he is just excited for that. But also as a coach, you'd have to go look at it. But how has he ever coached in a game at this scale before? You know, even at Nevada, I don't know if he had a game that was up to that scale.
They played in a bowl game.
Okay.
Is that, again, you could argue, though, that, you know, bowl games and sometimes aren't even close to what a big-time regular season matchup would be.
And also, I think it's good to have a good pep in the step. You don't want to be, you know, lonely and just all week, because then what does that tell your players?
Right.
That you're not expecting much from the game.
No. We think we got Mike Brohard. He'd be good to ask. Yeah, I mean, he coached in a couple of bowl games, like the Arizona Bowl, the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. He coached in that game twice. So, I mean, those are some big games. But, yeah, this is a big one, and he's recognizing that. Mike Brohard joining us now from CSURams.com. He didn't get to hear the song we came in with, but I guess it doesn't matter. A little Stevie Wonder action. Mike, how are you, my friend?
Why would you pick Stevie Wonder? I'm curious.
I don't know. It's just something, top-of-mind awareness, maybe? I don't know. I heard it. I heard somebody mention that today, and it's just been in my head ever since.
I think somebody mentioned it maybe yesterday.
Yeah, was it yesterday? I don't know. I just watched the clip, Mike. You know, we get rolling here. Things happen. Was it yesterday?
It was yesterday at the press conference, yeah.
Why do people have issues with that? I'm reading Twitter. Some people are like, that's in poor taste. Come on, right?
Oh, it wasn't poor. It was a joke.
It was a joke.
Jay laughed when he said it.
Right.
And, you know, kind of had that smirk on his face because he knew what he was saying. But it's not like it's a new joke. He's not the first one to have used that at any point in time in the history of the world. So, yeah.
Ray but Charles probably Chris, thought think, that was a funny I joke. I mean, come on.
He would have. And I think, you know, I think both he and Stevie Wonder have both joked about it themselves in the past.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Mike, we have apparently a quarterback change. I'm sure you knew about that.
Really?
Yeah. BFN. I like the
fire
here.
People are going to go with the whole BFN over. They're going to tie that to BVP, maybe?
I think that's what we're trying to do. I mean, what do you think of that? Are we trying to channel some of that?
I think we should let the kid play first before you start comparing him to a two-time Mountain West Offensive Player of the Year.
Well, and he's also got three names, Mike. It's just easier to say BFN.
It is. Yeah, it is. I get it.
I mean, Clay Millen, it was just,
bam. Can you not say Braden Fowler Nicolosi?
I can. Braden Fowler Nicolosi. I can't spell all of that. It's way too much thinking.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've been trying to be careful in this conversation. I'm a big fan of Clay Millen. Obviously, we have a connection with him and everything here, and I work.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, I don't know. You know how I roll. I work with his dad on some stuff too, and I think the news came out, dude. Mike, the news came out yesterday, like 4 minutes before I was set to have Hugh Millen on the show.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay. So we kind of steered clear from it and everything. I want to get your thoughts on the move here. Now, again, I know you have a bye week, and it was a really weird time to have a bye week, so you can certainly use that argument. But I kind of thought, by the way Coach Norvell was talking about how maybe we approach this game not really as aggressive as we should have offensively, yada, yada, yada. I thought maybe that was going to give Clay the pass at least for another week, but not the case.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, last week when they started the bye week, Braden was taking the majority of the first team reps. So they got a week. The bye week gave them an extra chance to get him into the role and ready to go. Last year, of course, obviously he was thrust into it a little bit because, you know, Clay got hurt. And Jay's been, Jay did say that he felt he tried to keep his team out of making mistakes, and that was the wrong approach. And he did not put any of the blame on what happened on Clay, but I do think when Braden came in, he took a more aggressive approach. And again, that had something to do with the game. You're behind, you're going to throw more, you're going to look to do that. But I think they like the way he ran the offense, and they want to give him a chance. Now, you got to go back. This isn't just a one-game thing. You're talking about an offense that all of last year averaged less than 14 points a game. And you can't live in college football in this day and age averaging 14 points a game. It's just the way it is. And so maybe it's a spark they're looking for. Maybe they saw something, and he hasn't said specifically what it is, that Braden did that they like, that they think could be the spark that this team needs. I think a lot of people were surprised that they made the move going into the Colorado game. But, again, it's not like it's Braden's first start. It will not be Braden's first start on the road in a place that's hostile towards the CSU Rams arriving.
Yeah.
Because you got to remember, Nevada was not really happy to see Jay and all those players come back, Braden being one of them. He was originally a Nevada commit, right?
Yeah, no, and you're right. That's a good point. He goes into a hostile environment there, and the Rams found a way to win that game.
Right, and the nice thing, I think, because obviously the media, for some reason, wanted to talk to Braden today. It was a lot of people. He has the right approach. He doesn't think he's the answer. He just needs to be part of the solution. He needs to not go out and do anything incredible. He needs to go out and make it possible for a Torrey Horton, a Dallin Holker, a Justice Ross Simmons, a Lewis Brown, make incredible plays. He's supposed to be there to help them do that. And that's the way he's approaching it. Not that he has to do it. He has to allow them to be able to do it.
Mike Brohard joining us from CSURams.com. I'll be very curious to see how this one plays out. Of course, anytime there's a quarterback change this early on, I mean, it's very intriguing for a lot of people. They're doing it, going up against this CU team. The Buffs, I think, have shocked a lot of people. Now, I thought they would beat Nebraska even back in June. I said that because I just said it was a flip of the coin. I didn't know about either one of those teams. So I just went with Shador. But I didn't see the TCU thing coming. I don't think a lot of people saw that thing coming. And here we are. The Buffs are 2-0. What I've noticed about primetime is every single week, he and his team, they use some kind of motivational tool to get them fired up. It's personal. Or last week, you know, with TCU and writing them all, or 2 weeks ago, like Michael Jordan used to do. I'm curious, Mike, what could he possibly use? Like, I know it's a rivalry and all that stuff, but primetime's trying to inject himself into the rivalry. What kind of fuel do you think he's going to create other than just the fact that it's a rivalry game?
It's a good question because this is him reading his team and what he wants to do, or it's also him reading the narrative afterwards. I don't think anybody last week out of Boulder talked about we've got to go out there and get respect or that this is personal. That came out after the game. I don't think it's hard to tell. But I go back, and we were talking about it today at practice. You just go back to last year with Georgia. They were the defending national champions, and they kept saying nobody thought we could do it, nobody respect. Most of the people thought you were number one all year.
You're right, right.
How the narrative was being sold to your team, I don't know. But you can get a lot of people to believe a lot of things that aren't true or don't actually exist, and I think we've seen that just in the general public, in the world. But, no, whatever he's doing, he's very good at marketing. He's very good at coming up with themes. And I think he's also proven to be a pretty good football coach, you know. I think his coordinator hires were great. They were on spot. I'm impressed with the fact that they had that much turnover and that team plays as well as it does together so quickly. I mean, that's a testament to whatever they're doing down in Boulder because CSU obviously went through something similar, and it's taken a little bit longer. So kudos to them.
I think it's quick. It's that's what's amazing to me. It's how fast this is actually working for the Colorado Buffaloes. All right, Mike. A month ago, 2 months ago, you know, I do my picks on Friday, so they're not official until I say it on Friday, Mike. But I was saying for a while, I think this is the year. I think CSU beats CU. Obviously, things have changed. Tell me why that might be. Give me a reason to pick the Colorado State Rams to beat CU and shock the world this Saturday.
Because they're enjoying the moment. I mean, everybody's talking about the three-ring circus that's going to be in Boulder. It's, you know, Fox has their troop there. And you've got ESPN with game day. And there's a lot of national eyes on this. And everything is being pointed at Colorado, right? This turnaround, this amazing thing, Dion, what he's done, just, you know, his son, Travis Hunter, the way he's playing on both sides of the ball. Things that you don't see. All the attention's on Colorado. But Colorado State's embracing the fact that this is an opportunity for them to go out and show the world who they are. And why can't you go out and shock the world when you have this kind of setup for them? Nobody's paying attention to you. Nobody's probably thinking, well, God, they're, I don't know, maybe people are thinking this is a desperate team because they're making a quarterback change. Who knows what anybody's thinking? But it's a great chance, and it's college football, and you see upsets all the time.
Yeah, you do. And all you got to do is stay in the game early and find a way. Your guys start to believe, and you got a new quarterback in. He makes a couple of big plays, and then suddenly the sideline's looking at that going, okay, we're in business here. Mike, do you see then more of that aggressive four-air raid style approach then? Obviously, Jay Norvell had come out and said, hey, we didn't approach it. We were a little bit timid on the offensive side, hoping the defense would hold us in there for a bit. Do you see the complete opposite of that? Are we coming out firing? firing, you think, this weekend?
Yes, I think there's a lot of things they want to do. I don't think they're going to completely abandon the run game because CU's defense has given up a lot of rushing yards. And so if that's a way to extend drives, you're not just going to go ahead and just say, okay, we're going to chuck it 70 times because that's aggressive. You can still be aggressive with a run game. And if a defense is giving up nearly 200 yards a game rushing, you'd be kind of foolish not to try to gain some traction that way as well. Plus, it gives you balance, and it keeps the defense guessing. So, but yes, whatever they do, run or pass, I do think you're going to see a more aggressive game through the play calling.
Mike Brohard, CSURams.com, joining us. Mike, how close was Shiloh Sanders? How close were those guys to being Colorado State Rams?
What? I have no idea. Why would they have been?
No, there was a picture of them and Mike Bobo. You didn't see it?
Oh, yeah. I know. I remember back in the day when you recruited. You got to remember, Bobo knows them. So they came in and he gave them looks and stuff like that. But I don't think there was ever any thought that they were actually going to do it. They just came out for a recruiting visit. It was kind of cool. But no, I don't think there was ever any real chance that even Bobo thought that they were going to sign him.
Even though they were wearing the uniforms and everything there, that was all just a picture. That was just a photo op.
I guarantee you that before pick any player that you would like to in the history of college football, they have photos of themselves in different uniforms before they finally wore one on a field.
But Mike, they look so happy in this picture. I'm looking at
everybody
it right now.
Everybody looks happy in the picture. Everybody looks happy in the picture.
So zero chance. It was zero.
They're happy to be on trips. They're happy to be getting attention, and it was fun. But no, I don't. Even when they were here and we knew about it, I don't think anybody thought, hey, these guys are guys that we're going to land, but we're hoping that we can change their mind.
Yeah, it was an interesting story. I saw the picture and I thought, who better to ask than Mike?
I know. I saw the picture. It showed up again on Twitter today.
Yeah, it's all over the place now.
Got the scarf on. It's in the locker room. Yeah.
Oh man, Mike,
I've
always
been there, seen it, done it.
Yeah. Well, appreciate your insight as always, my friend. I know you can't give predictions for me, but I do like what you had to say about CSU. I got a lot to think about coming up this weekend. I don't know if I stay the course. I picked CSU to win early. I just don't know where my head is, man.
I never know where your head is.
I don't think many people do. Many people do not.
Fine.
Yeah.
It's a fun way to live, isn't it, Brady?
I try to tell myself that. Mm-hmm. Mike Brohard, appreciate you, my friend.
You take care.
I was like, wait, that picture happened, right? Was that photoshopped? You see it? There it is. Shiloh and Shador Sanders right there with Mike Bobo in that. Would that have been the new stadium? Yeah. It would have been the fancy new locker room there. And Mike Bobo's jokingly wearing the coat and the scarf and everything I think that Shador Sanders or Shiloh had on. He was kind of joking around. Well, our boy Sean Keeler put it out in the Denver Post this morning, and he at least kind of toyed with the idea that they were at least having conversations. Angel, you can't say 0% if they showed up on campus.
No, you don't.
There
you
was
don't
interest
go,
there.
Go do a visit. You don't try on the uniform and take pictures and do all that stuff unless you're seriously considering them. And this is—it's no secret. Shador Sanders was being recruited by almost every Power Five school out there.
Yeah,
Alabama was recruiting him hard. Alabama was recruiting Hunter Tyson or Travis Hunter.
Travis Hunter,
insanely nuggets.
Yeah, I've done that more times than I care to admit.
But yeah, I mean, I thought Travis Hunter was going to go to Bama a couple years ago.
Well, so Keeler writes, word on Pitkin Street is that both future Buffs liked what they saw. They could have just said, yeah, we liked what we saw. It was in Canvas Stadium. They toured Canvas Stadium. It's just worthwhile.
So you talk
crazy
about fuel. Will Deion try to bring up something from that visit to say something bad about CSU? Say, oh, see, I mean, kids were going to go there,
know.
But I mean, they didn't have the stadium or they didn't have Ralphie. Or they didn't
I can't
have
see it. Like, Jay Norvell just...
You just said he would take anything and everything
to
motivate them.
Michael Jordan would create something, even if it was fake. He would just make it up.
So there you go.
We'll see. I guess we probably won't know until after the fact. 43 minutes after the hour. We got the bottom of the hour coming up? Okay, bottom of the hour news and SportsCenter coming up next.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
thought-provoking, Angel. Absolutely thought-provoking. Angel is, of course, hosting football night in Northern Colorado on Fridays at 5 o'clock. He's spreading his wings. I saw someone text you that. Said, good to hear Angel spreading his wings, flying solo. But it's also, you've got a lot of thoughts creeping in that brain of yours lately. And this thought of yours, I think you should absolutely tweet this out. Go crazy with it. Give me this thought, Angel. This is your day.
Yeah, so I'm watching football last night, on Monday Night Football, whatever. And this commercial comes on, you've probably seen it. It's the Aflac commercial with the, you know, Gap. And it's like, oh, what's he talking about? Oh, he's talking about the medical expenses that Gap doesn't cover, or the insurance doesn't cover. And it's Nick Saban and it's Deion Sanders. And he points to the duck, hey, what's my thing, or whatever, Aflac. And it just got me thinking about Nick Saban.
Mm-hmm.
And how great of a coach he is, and what he's created at Alabama. He's going to retire at some point.
He's 71 years old.
I can't tell you when, because I don't
know. He'll be 72 this next month.
Yeah, on Halloween.
Yep.
I don't know when he'll retire or, you know, decide to go do something else, because I know he loves coaching.
Uh-huh.
But I was just thinking, when he does, I've thought about candidates I would look at to be the next coach there. Dabo Sweeney.
Who could be?
Lane Kiffin.
Who could fill those shoes?
Plenty. Plenty of candidates out there. I was thinking, what coach would willingly take the Alabama job? Because it would be the biggest job available.
Right.
It would be the job for any college football coach.
The biggest job in football.
Yes. And I was just thinking, what coach would willingly take that job, knowing the pressure that's going to be there, knowing the expectations of it?
And have the best chance of keeping everybody around.
Sure.
Who would that be?
I think it's Deion Sanders.
Oh! That is thought-provoking. And it makes total sense.
It makes too much sense.
And how would you feel about that? Do you believe now?
No. And I'll tell you, depending on when that would happen, if it ever did happen, I would need to have confidence in him that he could make it successful for a long time. Meaning I would need to see him and the Buffs have success for a couple of years from now. Maybe not a national championship, but recruiting, consistent success in your conference. Maybe you get a couple playoff spots. But I really don't think there is any other coach that would take that job willingly.
Well, to me, for prime time to leave... ever. Again, let's assume primetime is in the playoffs. Let's assume they bring glory to Colorado and they actually win a real national championship. Yes, I said it, a real one. One that you're competing for and going up against teams to win it. Not you're chosen to split it with Georgia Tech, wasn't it, in the 90s? Let's say he does all those things. I still think just any other big job is just any other big job. Like Florida State would be interesting, like all these other ones. I think that primetime can become historic if he continues here. Mm-hmm. Like, if he just goes somewhere else, his name is just part of other greatness. It's just part of it. However, this would be a different story. This would be nobody can replace Nick Saban except... Prime
nobody time. Could replace Bear Bryant until Nick Saban.
Yeah.
And that's not putting Deion Sanders up in that category of upper echelon coaches. I am just saying.
The trajectory we're on right now.
The vacuum that will create is only going to attract a select number of coaches.
If you pair Alabama's, already it's Alabama, and then primetime, you pair that together.
If there is sustainable success at Colorado.
Sure. Yeah, it's all
because otherwise, then it's just going to be a name hire.
Flying Dutchman says Jay's dumb joke simply shows a lack of awareness. It's about more than just him. He is leading our next generation and shouldn't be so flippant. Oh my gosh!
Good Lord, it's not a bad joke.
Lord.
It's a clever joke, and it's been said for the last 30 years.
And somehow, people that have said it are okay. We're doing okay. We're gonna make it after all. 12:52 the time. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFK. Give me a break.
Have Friday night plans? We do. KFKA's Game of the Week, presented by A1 Organics.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Mm-hmm. They have a relationship through the duck commercials. I don't know. Think it's an interesting one, Angel. We'll see what happens.
It's years away.
It's years away. Away. Nick Saban
got what?
It was
just a thought that popped into my head.
3 years left for Saban?
I'd say three or four. Okay. Maybe five. Bill Snyder was like, what, in his mid-80s when he retired at Kansas State?
I don't think Saban's going to keep going like that, is he?
I think he's in better conditional health than Snyder was.
Yeah, I just don't know. All right, I want to get to this Jim Trotter thing. Have you seen that? We didn't hit that in our lunch rush. I saw it during
the break between shows. But former NFL Network reporter is suing the NFL and the cable channel for racial discrimination, claiming that his contract was not renewed this year because he reportedly spoke out about pro football's lack of diversity at the league offices among its coaches and within the media arm.
Well, and now he's giving out some quotes here, too, that he had heard people say over his time, during his time. And according to the complaint, Trotter asked Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones why there weren't more black people in decision-making roles in the NFL. And this is what Trotter is saying. Jerry Jones's reply was if blacks feel some kind of way, they should buy their own team and hire who they want to hire. That's what Jones said. That's what Trotter said that Jones replied. Trotter alleges that he wanted to mention the incident on TV, but was instructed not to by superiors. All right, lot to unpack there. We'll get into that in a moment. Rocky Mountain Showdown talk, CU, CSU. What are the realistic chances that Colorado State goes down to Boulder and pulls off something miraculous? We'll hit that on the other side. More on the Broncos Raiders. I got three alarming points about that game that have to get fixed or it is going to be playoffless for 8 seasons. The whole show continues. 1 o'clock hour coming up next.